Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, what's happening? Good Friday to you here. Tiki and Tierney chilling out inside of our studio, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, a little Sirius XM channel 206 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, YouTube, all the ways to find us, Instagram, at Tiki and Tierney, obviously at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right there, Mickey Mantle. How'd you doing CC's?
I got a base hit.
Or should I say Ricky Henderson?
Yeah, right. I got a base hit.
You got a base hit?
Just a little blooper over the third baseman. Okay. Stretched it to two. Forced an error.
On the throw.
Forced an error.
You sped him up a little bit.
Forced an error. Got the second.
All right.
Ended up on third, and the inning ended. And that was it.
He
only bat once.
What?
Because there's so many guys.
Wait, so who played? Because Strahan was talking about this on Good Morning
Strahan
America.
Strahan did not play.
He was the manager.
He was just the manager. I mean, he's up at 5 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning.
But he was still there. He may as well get in the batter's box once. He was there. It's not like he wasn't there.
He was shot.
Yeah.
Gary Sheffield was there. Andrew Jones.
Okay.
Hit a home run, BT, with a softball into the stands.
Little league fence
was there.
Yep.
But he hit it into the stand.
Left field. So that probably went about 375.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Was it down the left field line or in the power alley?
Right down the left field
probably
line.
Probably more about 330. Yep. Still softball.
Johnny Damon hit a home run, but his was just over the little
Johnny Damon, the little
puppy fence.
Okay.
There's a couple.
Was Tino there? Did Tino come play?
There.
Tino Martinez?
He popped out a couple times.
Oh, Tino, losing it.
He still
it.
Looks good, though.
Yeah, no, he looks good. Jeter didn't show up, right?
Jeter wasn't there. Charlie Jeter was there, though.
Okay.
His sister, who runs his foundation. There's a bunch of guys there. Kemba Walker. I was like, wait, you coming?
He ain't going to be it. I told you he's not coming. Knicks don't want him. He might want the Knicks. Knicks don't want him.
But it was fun. A lot of celebrities. It was a good time, man. It's always a good time. Lots of fans were there, too. Raised a lot of money for the Pitch-In Foundation, which is CC and Amber's foundation. So good times, man.
I wanted to see some pictures. I was scouring social media. I looked at your account. I saw nothing. I said, all right, but that doesn't surprise me. Usually
I didn't have
Tracy
my phone.
Does that.
Yeah, I didn't have my phone. And the problem was, is it Callum? My Lola from Kinky Boots.
Yeah,
right?
He was there. That was the one picture Tracy posted of herself.
Exactly.
Not you.
So he came and they hung out and had some beverages.
That's the picture that I saw.
So therefore, there were no pictures of one Tiki Barber.
So we don't really know if you played, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you're right.
But you had a good time?
I did have a great
time. Nice, man.
Always do. It's always good people down there, and they take care of you at Yankee Stadium because you're with a legend.
Of course. Do you get, we're going to get to obviously last night, a little golf for you, Big Friday Show, Tiki and Tierney. Do you get, being a former pro athlete, you've been in all these big venues. You played at the Vet in front of 80,000 people. Do you get a charge like
it's cool
going to Yankee Stadium and playing in relatively a cavernous, well, not many fans,
look,
you know?
I tell you this, BT, all the time. Whenever I go to a baseball game, I marvel at how pristine
it
was.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember playing with the Giants Stadium. Remember we went through the Trey Fitz. Well, first of all, we started with AstroTurf.
Yeah,
like
from the 70s.
The crappy AstroTurf.
Yep.
Then we went to the Trey phase, which was literally trays put in and taken out. As soon as one got chewed up, you take it out and stick it in. And they were disgusting. It was just dirt.
Well, that's where Seahorn ripped up his
knee
on those trays.
Right. In the preseason.
Against the Jets. I was at the game.
It's in the preseason. Yep. So the grass isn't even chewed up.
Yep.
And then we finally got like good AstroTurf.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's obviously a MetLife Stadium. But it was always not a pristine looking venue.
Plus, it's cement. Like every stadium.
Right.
The unique nature of baseball stadiums, you have a 37-foot-high wall in Fenway.
Right.
You've got a 21-foot-high wall in Pittsburgh. You got the short porch in Yankee Stadium. You got the pesky pole. The Astros used to have that wacky slope in center field. All the characteristics.
You're right.
Football is 100 yards and just a big circle.
Exactly. And it's grungy and it's football.
Yeah.
You go to a baseball stadium or a baseball ballpark, and it just feels majestic.
So, oh, there's no doubt.
So to answer your question, absolutely.
It's just fun
to be out there. The grass is perfectly cut.
You want to get the pitching wedge, get a little work,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You almost don't want to step on it.
Yeah.
But
don't step on the lines. Hop over the lines.
I did.
Did you do that?
I did.
Attaboy. Okay, so we'll do more of the golf next hour, but at least obviously you're driving around. It is day two here, Beth Page. Tiger's not the story. I told you this yesterday. I'm not just going to shove Tiger down your throat when he's not playing well. He's a mess today. He's plus one, and I didn't see what happened here, but he was in a weird spot in a bunker, and he's going to have to really salvage a par. So far, Tiger is 3 over for the event. Ugh. Par, bogey, par. We'll see what happens the rest of the day. Phil, he's plus one. But the story, and I did look this up. I wanted to make sure because I knew that he had to be flirting with something. Brooks Koepka again.
Yeah.
So yesterday comes out, hits the course record, fires a 63, which is criminal at a punitive course like Bethpage. It's ridiculous.
He toyed with it.
He did. Today, bird, par, bird.
He might run away bad with this one.
Well, that, but I'm also saying to myself, okay, so he goes 63 the first day. He's minus three through four today. What is the lowest winning score for a major in the history of golf?
I don't know that.
Well, I had to look it up for you because I think he's on that path.
And?
Ironically, it was actually pretty recently. Remember when Henrik Stenson beat Phil at the Open Championship?
Yes.
A couple of them back in 2016 at the British Open.
Yes.
He shot a 264, not necessarily the name that you would believe that you know would be synonymous with that kind of record, although he's a pristine ball striker with the irons. He's not a masher. So Henrik Stenson shot a 264 a couple years back. And last year at Bellerive, when Tiger almost caught him, Brooks Koepka shot a 264 as well. So the lowest is 264, and Stenson, when he did this, went 68, 65, 68, 63, and Brooks already has the 63 out of the way. I know it's a lot of numbers. Just keep this in mind. Brooks Koepka could be in the middle of something special that no golfer's ever done before in the history of the game.
You're right.
That's why I lay it out that way.
He's a masher. He's throwing darts when he gets into his short irons, and then he's putting well. That's how you get 63s.
No doubt.
And it looks like he's on the same path to throw another one up there tonight. So we'll see what happens.
All right. So the basketball last night was one of my favorite games of the year. It really was.
I don't disagree, dude.
You know, it was a script that. Listen, some games are boring. Some games, a little pop here, and then they kind of fizzle out. This game really, from the outset, it forced you to lock in because the Warriors are down by 15 at the half. 15. And Oracle, and I remember this happened at Yankee Stadium when the Yankees ripped off all the championships, 96, 98, 99, 2000. I've said this before. When you win a lot, and Warrior fans might protest this. This is not a diss. This is just the reality of being a fan. When you start to win a lot, you can't replicate that fervor from the first one. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from a rare place.
You're right.
All right? So I thought last night Oracle sounded a little bit like the old Oracle.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's
interesting. That's the first thing I take away.
And I almost felt like that's the case because this Golden State team, without Kevin Durant, feels like that original Golden State team. And that's probably not why it's happening, but it seems funner and looser for some reason and more, I guess, more wide open. Not looser is the wrong word because that assumes that Kevin Durant is stifling their creativity or the fun that they're having. That's not the case.
Nope.
That's not what I'm saying at
all.
He's
not a ball stopper.
He's not at all. I mean, look, their assist and field goal make ratio, it's exactly the same with and without him. So nothing really changes. It just feels more, but it feels like there's more ball movement and more like everyone is involved. And I think more importantly, it feels like everybody thinks they have a role to play. Well, not really think. They do have a role to play. And so as much as we want to talk about who's going to pick up the slack for Kevin Durant that he's out and looks like he's going to be out for a couple of more games now, through game four at least, that who's going to pick it up? Is it going to be Steph? Is it going to be Clay? You know, is their bench with Looney and Iguodala going to have to score more points? But really, it's everybody. And I feel like that is it's a testament to Steve Kerr's ability to tap in to anybody, not just one or two guys, but anybody, and say, "Hey, dude, it's your go. You got to get 15 minutes tonight. Either go play great defense or get me some buckets."
Mm-hmm.
And they all are doing it.
Looney, Quinn Cook. I mean, they're all contributing for sure. Jordan Bell. You know what jumps out to me, too? So they're down by 15, Teague. Now, the Warriors, it's not like they went bonkers in the fourth quarter. They only scored 25 points,
right,
which for them is relatively pedestrian. But just I don't have the time to actually look this up. I'm just going to keep it real. But I would love to know if what I'm about to say has ever transpired during their championship run. And I'll lay it out for you. My guess is that it has not. That's what I surmise.
Yep.
The Warriors in the fourth quarter last night. Jordan Bell free throw. Quinn Cook 10-foot floater. Klay hit the 9-foot turnaround. Steph had a 2-point mid-range jump shot. This is all their scoring. Looney had a dunk. Steph had a layup. Draymond had a layup. Looney had a free throw. Dunk for Iguodala. Looney alley-oop. Steph got fouled. 3 free throws. Looney alley-oop. Draymond layup. That's the end of the scoring. They didn't hit a single 3-point shot in the fourth quarter.
And that's why they only scored 25.
But true.
You're right.
But I can't imagine that during this dynasty, this dynastic run, that's ever happened to them, even in games that they've lost.
Agreed. You know what else is interesting, BT? As you were running through that list,
yeah.
there wasn't a repeat score.
That's true, too.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
it's
like, Bell, Cook, Klay, Steph, Looney. That's true.
And then
you're going to have a repeat eventually. But Iguodala got the dunk.
But it's not like back-to-back. It's not like they're and that's my point. They're not dialing into one person. All right, Steph, we need 15 from you in this quarter. You got to take 10 shots.
Uh-huh.
That's not what they're doing. And the fact that they can do that is a testament to their preparation, to Steve Kerr's game plan. We discount them sometimes. Like we said this 2 days ago, maybe it was last week. Yeah, we could coach this Golden State Warriors team. You know, when KD's on the team, when KD gets hurt, it takes some gumption. It takes some thought processes to make this thing work. Steve Kerr is doing a hell of a job. People aren't talking about it because of how well that everybody is playing. But when everybody is playing like that, and you get 12 deep in your bench, 12 deep in his bench.
Everybody's engaged.
Right? Then you have to give Steve Kerr credit.
Totally agree. Outstanding point. Steve Kerr is playing chess, and I don't know. I don't even know what Stotts is playing. He might be playing Connect Four. I'm not even sure if it's checker. Although they did have a much better game plan for game two, so we'll give them some credit there.
They did, but they went back to the same nonsense in the second half where they're dropping the pick and roll defender, the big. I mean, why do that?
The defense, first of all, they weren't a good defensive team during the regular season.
Good point.
They weren't terrible. They were 17th in defensive deficiency. But there was a point, and it was obviously coinciding with the Warriors getting hot and carving into that 15-point deficit, and Mark Jackson and Van Gundy were some of the defense by the Blazers, it was if the Blazers score or miss, meaning the Warriors get the rebound, 3-4 dribbles up court, layup.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a quick dart to the rim, backdoor, you know, Draymond had a couple in a row.
It's lazy.
It was actually pathetic,
yeah.
And I don't say that because I know that we can trivialize, you know, as a guy who didn't play pro ball, I can make it seem like it's easy. It's incredibly – I can't do what these guys do. I obviously recognize that. But on a professional level, you know, based on what's required to beat a champion, yeah, you can't win like that.
No.
That's just utterly unacceptable.
You're right.
It was porous. But Kerr's been phenomenal. I want to get into this a little bit coming up here. Something popped into my head last night in the car about Durant. Didn't tweet it. By design. I almost did. As I went to Twitter, and I said, you know, no. I'm saving this for the show, throwing it by my guy Tiki, and we're going to hash this out. We'll get to that coming up. And obviously, the PGA Championship, a major theme. We'll keep an eye on that as Brooks Koepka flirts with history. Tiki and Tierney on a Friday. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Okay, taking the Tierney off and running on a Friday, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. All right, Tiki, I want to throw something by you here. But I want to preface it with, I don't believe it to be true.
Okay.
I'm positioning this as if. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get home last night. Nominal traffic. Nothing terrible. Got home the usual time. Had dinner with Jen and the kids. Jen and the kids went for a walk with a few neighbors around the neighborhood. And I said, all right, Daddy's got a little time. Go hit a bucket of balls, right? So I went down down the road, went to the driving range. Got to get my game on. Try to find it. And as I'm driving home, I put on Sirius XM 86, get the game, NBA, see what's going on. Boom, KD injury update. Okay. He will not travel to Portland for games 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close to being ready. Obviously, he will be reevaluated down the road within a week. I don't know if Kevin Durant's playing this year.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a serious serious calf strain.
Yeah, if you're if it's a minor one, and that's how they positioned it, a minor or mid level, whatever it is.
I don't think it was ever minor. I think it was a grade two. They said,
yeah, which is just the number of strands that are
fibers that get ripped,
ripped or strained or torn or whatever it may be. But you almost feel like it's a calf. It wasn't, you know, like severe.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they would have ruled him out originally. For the long haul. And that Kevin Durant would find a way to fight through it.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm starting to think that Kevin Durant sees how they play and knows that he doesn't have to rush back. Like, if he had to rush back, do you think he could play? Do you think
No.
he would go to Portland?
I don't think he could. I think he's really, really hurt. I think he's injured. He's not hurt. He's injured.
Yeah.
He's not right. He wants to play, man. Here's what I want to throw by you, because we can speculate all we want.
Yeah.
And again,
we don't know.
No, but and again, I preface this strongly. I don't believe this to be true, because number one, it would have leaked out by now.
Yeah.
But here's my question, because everything that transpired when he got hurt, looking back, looking down, you know, I ruptured my Achilles. That's what we all do. You mm-hmm. looked at somebody kick me. It's just what you do.
Yep.
Let's just say for a moment that he did rupture his Achilles, just for a second. Okay, and for somehow they've been able
to lie into us.
No. It's not about it. It's deep. It's not about a conspiracy.
Okay.
I'm not trying to say that the Warriors are dogging us or okay. None of that. It's deeper than that. But just say if he truly did, even if they came out and they said he ruptured his Achilles, would you still give him the max this summer?
Interesting question. Probably.
Boy, you didn't think long about that.
No.
30 years old, ruptured Achilles.
Yeah, no.
Some miles on those wheels.
I still would.
You really would?
Yeah, because aren't guys coming back from it in different ways? I mean, Boogie looked okay. Think about Boogie. Boogie's too
Boogie.
Boogie. We can't even call him that anymore because he doesn't want to be called that. DeMarcus Cousins is enormous. He's 200. What is he, 280?
He's got to be about 270. Well, I think Embiid's 280, and I think he's probably just
he's
south.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's right around
275. He's a big man. And I remember when he tore his Achilles down in New Orleans, it was like, oh, that's it for his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming back from that. I mean, he might be okay. I know he's liking to stretch himself out a little bit, and meaning as a ball player, and get out near the three-point line. He's not as in the paint and banging and as physical as he once was. But, I mean, come on. You can't turn into the same player that you were. You know what? He was okay.
He was definitely okay, but DeMarcus Cousins pre-Achilles was a lot more than okay.
But again, this is DeMarcus Cousins,
uh-huh.
who's a big...
With the weight. Yep.
He's not near... Doesn't have the musculature or the lack of it that Kevin Durant...
Yeah, I got you.
And so it just feels like with an athlete like Kevin Durant, he's going to be okay, right? He's going to get back and be just like he was before. And let's not pretend that Kevin Durant is a super athlete. You know, like he's skying and he's doing these crazy dunks and, you know, reverse. And that's not his game, right?
He's pretty damn quick, though, man. That first step is sick.
But it's not his game.
He swoops to the hole.
Do you think if he couldn't swoop to the hole, he'd still be as effective or less effective?
I think he'd be less effective.
How much so? That's the question.
12 to 15%? That's, you know, because I would almost prefer to be a big man coming back from that.
Why? Because you know you can slow.
I'm less reliant on the quick twitch, the up face, the burst, the blow bys, the step back, freeing myself up. It's more, here's my behind. I'm going to plant it into your hip, and I'm just going to disengage
and get
a little space.
Move me if you can.
Exactly. Whereas Kevin Durant, again, is his game, is he like Westbrook? No, he's not that shifty.
Yeah.
I think you're underselling Kevin Durant's athleticism and his burst and his hops. Durant's explosive.
But that's not even my point. That's not his game, though.
I know it's not.
You know?
So you're saying he'll age well, and I agree.
Yes, exactly.
But to answer my own question, and again, it's not, but if it was a rupture, and this is coming from the guy who's been saying he's coming to the Knicks for 6 months.
Now you don't want him on the Knicks.
I would rescind the offer that I was about to give him.
I wouldn't give
him a max.
Are you kidding?
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
If you could get 85% of Kevin Durant, former league MVP, two-time finals MVP, if you could get 85% of Kevin Durant, aren't you taking 85% of Kevin Durant for the max?
Yes, but it's complicated with this part of it because 85% of Kevin Durant at the age of 29, but Right, so automatically it's 15-ish. I mean, we're putting a number, we could be off, but it's 15%-ish less than what he would have been if he didn't get hurt. And then you have to add in the natural attrition, which is impossible to project and calculate. I wouldn't do it.
All right, so you're answering the question for yourself. I'm answering the question for me. What do you think NBA teams are going to do? Give him the max?
I think the Lakers would.
Is it desperate teams?
You know what I'd love to see? I'm very curious what the Warriors would do at that point. Because Boogie was the one-year five mil. Prove yourself. Kevin Durant's nine layers in front of Boogie. We know that. Two NBA Finals MVPs. I mean, one of the top players of all time already. I don't know. I think what you would have to do is you would have to manipulate his physical situation for your own benefit. I mean, it sounds callous, but if I could save myself, you know, talk about his percentage diminished physically, but if I can save 10, 12, 15% contractually, I got to look out for me.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's...
I'm just wondering how you were going to answer that as a former athlete.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. With Kevin Durant, I wouldn't even think about it.
Okay. Most people might be with you on that. Jason's in California, and Jason is up, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Jay? How are you today?
Doing good, guys. How you doing?
All right, man. Good. What's up?
Hey, love the show. First time, long time.
Appreciate it.
I wanted to say, I'm not a Warriors fan, so I'm going to preface it with that. but all my friends are obviously diehards. And it has been a two-month argument over Grant leaving. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it change. Their attitudes change. It went from he's staying to, oh, crap, he's going to leave. Mm-hmm. And now they don't want him on the team.
What?
They're happier in Oracle right now.
How come? Happy in the Oracle because they can win without him. In fact, it's been the case. It's been the norm.
They want to win without him. They want to prove to everybody that they don't need him.
I can see that. I can see that being more gratifying.
That's interesting.
For a fan.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that.
Especially knowing that they think he's leaving. If they thought he was staying, totally different. But they're like jilted lovers now. They know he's leaving.
That's an interesting point.
They're upset.
You know what's funny too, Jason? Did you say that? Thanks for your call. It's a good point that you make. But as I watch them these last two games in the Western Conference Finals, it's almost, I don't want to say I'm more interested, but I am more interested than I have been, because for 2 years, it's a foregone conclusion. Not even thinking about it. Like, who's winning the NBA Finals? I mean, the Golden State Warriors winning the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're going to get tested a little bit here and there, but they're going to find a way to win.
Yep.
They have two of the best players in the game, and really three of the top, like, 10 or 15.
Yep.
And if you want to go even farther, you probably have
four of the top 25. Four of the
25, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, of course they're going to win, and no other team has more than two,
mm-hmm.
right? And so now there's a question. Are they still the best team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is Steph still what he was before? And can Draymond pick up the slack, which he unbelievably and absolutely did last night in Game 2, both defensively and in his offensive game, his assist game. I mean, it was Draymond Green from 4 years ago. That's what he looked like last night.
He played very well. And so
it's so much more interesting because it's not a given, even though. How they played last night, it kind of still feels like a given.
And it's going to get more interesting because Portland's going to win at least one in Portland.
Yes.
They are going to win a game in Portland.
Yeah, they're not laying down.
No, which is why last night, if they would have finished the deal, I mean, this weekend would have been incredible.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
It's a shame, too, because they had a great, great effort from their bench. Seth Curry.
I was really happy for Seth Curry.
Me as well.
That's got to be tough being him.
I mean, of course
it's
got
to be tough. It's kind of like you being Rondé's brother. It's got to be tough.
But we don't play. We never played each other. I guess we could have.
I'm being facetious.
But we could have, actually, in that year of 2000, too. We always talk about when Rondé and...
Yeah, but you guys are equals. I mean, Seth is...
You're right.
Steph is one of the all-time greats.
I hear you. But Seth had an unbelievable game last night. 16 points, 5 of 9. Look at the stats.
Yeah.
4-7 from 3-point range.
And he was clutch, too.
4 steals.
Yeah, he played great.
Look, he scored their last point. I mean, maybe he should have had more opportunities to shoot the ball instead of forcing it into Dame's hand and C.J. McCollum's hand at the end. Because with 1:08 left, he hit that 3-pointer that gave them the lead. They didn't score again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, their relationship is being talked about a lot because it's the first – brothers to have played in a conference finals against each other, and they showed these highlights from when they were kids last night on the broadcast. It was just so cool, man.
Oh, man.
I mean, Dell Curry.
Look, he's hitting half court shots there.
And I don't know Mrs. Curry's name, but Dell and Curry and his wife got to be unbelievable, proud of this moment. And the fact that Seth was just ripping his brother. He just ripped him apart.
I know.
Defensively. Stole him 3 or 4 times. It was pretty awesome.
Well, look at his, first of all, you know, keep the camera on Mrs. Curry all day. I mean, you know, with all due respect, we've always, she's just a beautiful woman. She's beautiful.
I 100% agree.
And, but, you know, the joy from a dad's perspective, I feel like it's always just a little different from the mom, because the mom carried the child.
Yeah.
And just look at, just watching her be, she, like, yo, especially when Seth did something.
Well, that was the problem.
But deep down,
yeah.
Don't you think they're rooting for Seth?
Of course they
are. You gotta be.
Of course.
You gotta be.
You know, but this, first of all, Dell's, is that jersey signed?
Yeah, it is signed.
It looked like it's
signed. Well, on the back, he's got the Warriors. You know, he's got the 50-50.
Yeah, I know, but.
But it is signed.
If it's signed.
I mean, I don't know if we need that signed.
I mean, that's a little weird.
I thought the same thing, too. I thought the same thing. But it's just incredible. I mean, if you're a Curry, you could shoot. I mean, you can shoot. So, and they're not physically imposing. They're thin.
Yeah.
I mean, Steph's worked hard on his body. He's carved out some muscle for sure. But you look at him at Davidson, his first year or two in the NBA, just a beanpole.
Agreed.
Man, all hard work and
I know it's awesome.
Passion to be great.
And the reason I bring this up is because Seth Curry for the Portland Trail Blazers had a great game off the bench last night, and they wasted it.
Well, yeah, they did. They did. I don't know. Do you take away?
Because he's not going to do that every night. That's my point. He's not scoring 16 and getting 4 steals and being, you know, over 50 or 60% almost from 3. It's not happening.
You know what
every
I would
night.
Do? I would play him 25 to 30 minututes every game, and I would let him defend Steph, because I the only way you're going to stop Steph.
Yeah.
And this might be a fruitless endeavor, and he might crush his brother's soul, and you don't want to see that. But who knows Steph's
moves?
That
would be entertaining.
More so than Seth.
Nobody.
Think about all the dancing in the backyard, the driveway.
We just saw
what
video.
We just saw
they
on
were
video
five or
in the arena.
8 years old.
They know. He knows. Seth knows what Steph's doing, just as Steph is processing it in real time.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
You're right.
And, you know, maybe, and I'm kind of tapping into the psychology here, you tell me, because you have a twin brother. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks that Steph doesn't want to embarrass his brother. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe whoever's in my way, I'm hunted.
I played against my brother 5 times. I'll tell you about it on the other side of the break.
But you know what I'm saying? So, like, if there's just an element of Steph, not trying to protect his brother, but kind of.
There's a psychology
there. You know what
there.
I'm saying?
I know what you're getting
at. That could play into the favor of the Portland Trail Blazers that they really exploited. Maybe Steph gives up a few passes. You know what? I don't want to drill a 30-footer in my brother's mug. Let me give it over to Clay. You never know.
You're right.
You never know. All right, 1-855-212-4227. Coming up here, inbounds, out of bounds. We'll get Axe update with all the PGA scores. Anna Liguori's out of Bethpage. See what's cooking there on the leaderboard. But also in inbounds, out of bounds, did a Major League player curse out a fan last night? And if so, was there justification in doing so? We'll hit it after Ack right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, it's time to ask the pros here on Tiki and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Could be about PGA Championship. Could be about the hoops from last night, from the hoops this weekend, whatever. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag AskThePros. And make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day. So right now the projected cut is +3.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Tiger's hovering in that spot. Gotta make the weekend, Tiger. Come on.
Yeah, after winning the Masters, you can't miss the cut at the Champions PGA Championship. That would be ugly.
I'm not gonna be mad at you if you don't win. We didn't really even expect you to win, but you gotta make the cut, brother. Come on, you gotta see the weekend.
So to answer your question, BT.
Yes.
I played Rondé 5 times.
Yeah.
Early on in our career. So when we were 24. 23 or 24, first time I think we played down in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of what we call in football brother-in-law, which is
play some down nice and soft.
Nice and soft. You know, I'm not going to really hit you. I'm not going to really rush that hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Brother-in-law. It's what happens at the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
But extreme brother-in-law at the Pro Bowl.
Your teammates kind of say anything? Because you're playing. It's not a preseason game.
But here's the thing. We weren't big parts of our team.
Gotcha.
So he was a nickel corner before he was fully starting. I think I had 15 plays in the game, maybe.
Gotcha.
Because I was a third down back and punt returner. So five punt returns and, you know, 10 offensive plays. So it really wasn't a big deal. And so I didn't want to make him look bad. But at the end of our careers,
why do you say you didn't? How do you, what was he saying? He didn't want to make you look bad. Why are you saying that?
Well, he wasn't
you didn't
in a position to
look bad. He could have drilled you and made you fumble.
But he wasn't in a position. I wasn't catching the ball. You know what I mean?
I just like the way you framed it. But I don't want to make him look bad.
He didn't have the opportunity to. Yeah. Right? It's interesting. Yeah, it is funny
the way you said that.
But at the end of my career,
yep.
When we were both like really good, he was a perennial Pro Bowler, I was a perennial Pro Bowler. I wanted to embarrass him.
You did?
Yeah. And
you wanted to embarrass him.
I used to run through, he'd like try to tackle me because I was big at that point.
Yeah.
Like earlier on, I was smaller. Yeah. I wasn't as strong. I was powerful. And here he is, like 180 pound DB trying to tackle me, just like falling to the side. Yeah, I wanted to embarrass
you
him.
You did?
Absolutely.
Wow, I'm a little surprised.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's cool. Okay, there you go. Good story. Inbounds, out of bounds. Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. And
why does Ricky Fowler have a mullet?
I don't know.
Why does he have a mullet all
you know,
of a sudden?
What's going on with Tommy that? Fleetwood was out there as well. It's like Tommy's got a little bit of one going, but Tommy's got like the full head.
Yeah, Tommy's
like,
had that for
and
a while.
Like a shag.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
A shag.
Yeah. Fowler's got
the side shade.
He's got a little
hitting the mullet. They got
a little mullet going on there, Ricky. Okay. All right, TK, here it is, buddy. So as the Steelers made major changes this offseason, notably letting Le'Veon Bell walk and trading Antonio Brown, rumors started to swirl from former players that Big Ben's a bad leader and teammates. One even accusing him of fumbling on purpose. Remember that story about a month or so ago? However, pictures of Big Ben hosting his offensive teammates at his Georgia Lake house this past week seemed to show the group having a good time doing some bonding. I'm sure they were fishing, having a couple of pops, whatever. And apparently Big Ben's been doing this for years with his teammates. In or out, talk of Big Ben's rift with his teammates were overblown and not credible.
I'm going to have to say out of bounds, BT, because it feels like those talks of rips were specific to individual players, not the whole group. Guys Ben takes care of is one thing, but the guys that weren't included or had nothing to do, had maybe nothing to do with what is happening in the offseason and everything to do with what's happening in season, in the locker room, whether it's play calling or whether it's, you know, leadership style. You can't dismiss it. So I'm going to say out of bounds here. There's always some credence to leaks like this that happen in locker rooms.
I'm with you. I say out of bounds as well. This is a convenient framing from an overly pro-Pittsburgh Steeler point of view if you want to just kind of move past the in the murkiness of that staleness of last season. But this was a situation that needed some repairing. To what degree? Not sure. Not there all the time. Not there at all. So, I mean, we're just obviously kind of guessing and connecting all the dots here, but you don't hear this about Tom Brady.
No.
You know, you've heard little snippets of Aaron Rodgers. You've heard more snippets of Big Ben. You never hear that about Eli. Never hear that about Drew Brees. It doesn't just happen because, well, you're a quarterback and we want to put some news out there and make you look bad. There's generally an origin here. Now, maybe it's just two or three guys and you're tight with 30.
Yeah.
And it's overblown because that's what's going to get the clicks. But no, there was some repairing that needed to be done, and it looks like they're going in that direction.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teek, back to the hoops here. Now, we've talked at length about the 76ers' future, whether they should trade Ben Simmons. That came up. Maybe LeBron. You and I actually brought that up before that came up. Also, should they fire Brett Brown? They're not going to. But as much as the future is discussed, how about Jimmy Butler? So yesterday on Instagram, this was interesting. Butler appeared to say goodbye to the team, saying, quote, "To Philly and my teammates, thank you." Short and sweet. He was, you know, wearing a Sixers uniform, kind of waving, whatever he was doing. Butler's got a $20 million player option for next year, but will likely opt out and seek a max deal, as we've discussed many times on the show. Another midseason acquisition, Tobias Harris, is also set to be free. So, in or out, Tiki, the Sixers should look to sign Harris before trying to bring Butler back.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this. I like Tobias Harris, but we saw in the postseason, BT, Jimmy Butler was the dog, man. He was the guy that got it done. And look, I'm not saying – this is not to say I dislike Tobias Harris. I think he's actually a great player and is going to be an asset wherever he is because he can shoot, he's aggressive, he's got an alpha mentality about him. But when you really looked at who the alpha was in the postseason, it was Joel Embiid first. When he was healthy and not sick. And then right next to it, maybe sometimes even above it, Jimmy Butler.
Listen, Tobias Harris is not a real priority for me if I'm Philadelphia. That's just the way I see it. If I were to close my eyes and just envision what a Philadelphia 76er would be, what a player, what that guy would encapsulate, like, you know, the city of Philly, the grit, the toughness, the moxie, you know, the lack of, I guess, regard for what other people think, which could be a good thing and a bad thing, but I think in this case, certainly a good thing. Jimmy Butler fits that description.
Great.
Jimmy Butler is all Philly, man. And he is, it's obvious he's gelling with Joel Embiid. There's a nice rapport there. There's a almost like a brotherly relationship. A couple times, Jimmy could have made him look bad.
Yeah.
Instead, went the other direction, had his back, which is obviously very important.
Right, and the big thing will be the money, BT. As you see up there, it's 5 years, $190 if he stays in Philadelphia.
Yep.
For the max deal. If he goes somewhere else, about $50 million less.
Yeah, and at his age, I don't know that he'll be able to make that bet. Like, if he was 26 now,
yeah,
and this was his first real big dance, then he could say, well, okay, maybe you can make the $50 million up on the bet with a third contract. Mm-hmm. But, you know, where he is, and I guess that how we expect him to age, which should be relatively graceful.
I
He's
think
a
so
strong,
as well.
Good, well-conditioned yeah. athlete. But
never
I,
been
I,
really hurt.
No, nothing. Never. Yeah. But I agree. I think that the money, I don't say it's irrelevant, but that's probably enough to keep him there. Plus, he seems to like it. I'm with you. Out of bounds on this, Deke.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, baseball. The Padres were pretty busy this offseason, adding Manny Machado to a big deal and bringing in some other pieces, including veteran Ian Kinsler for 2 years and $8 million. So a lot of people thought that was a good deal. Got a good veteran hitter and a player on the cheap. Now, Kinsler has been, he's been terrible. Hitting .171 with 4 home runs and just 6 RBIs.
Wow.
That is almost hard to 4 home runs, 6 RBIs? That's almost statistically impossible if you really think about it. I don't know if anybody else. How do you do that? I mean, I know how, but it's hard. Before last night's game, and the fans have been very hard on him, and rightfully so, although we don't associate the San Diego fans being that, you know, that New York, Boston, they'll get it, Philly, they'll get on you right away, but they have been. Now, last night, Kinsler blasted a 3-run bomb to give the Pods the lead, and it was seen shouting as he crossed home plate, bleep you all right?
Wow.
All right. Many thought he was directing the profanity to the fans, but Kinsler actually denied that.
It had nothing to do with the fans. It's for my teammates. It's an inside thing with them, and just trying to get everybody fired up. I mean, we had a tough road trip. I'm a passionate player. You know, I try to get my teammates going, and that was it. But we need the fans behind us. I mean, that's what we need. We need the city of San Diego to be passionate with us and on our side, and hopefully that's the way they see this team.
Okay, so whether or not we believe Kinsler, we'll determine that right now. Inbounds, out of bounds here, Teague. Players going off on the same fans that have been booing and then giving them a hard time is in or out?
I think it's out of bounds, man. First of all, you shouldn't be engaging with fans in the middle of the game unless something, like, really vile is happening. But it's funny when you watch the video.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. He's fired up.
It's out of bounds.
He's charged up. I mean, when you have 6 RBIs and it's almost June 1st, I'd be fired up too. Now he's got 9.
It's funny. I'm saying out of bounds only because of how the question's written. You shouldn't. It's generally written. But in that case, there's kind of some levity in it.
Yeah.
Right? When you look at it visually as opposed to just hearing about it, it's two completely different things.
Yep.
I'm saying out of bounds, but I didn't mind that by Ian Kinsler.
I'm saying out of bounds as well. You know, the even though fans are, there's great proximity to the baseball diamond because of foul territory, and unless you wander to the stands for a foul pop-up, if you're a first or a third baseman or even a second baseman going down the right field line, or I guess a shortstop going down the left field line. So yeah. I guess basically anybody going in foul territory. you're really not that close to the fans. Now, the outfielders are different.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're dopey fans have thrown batteries at players, beer at players. I mean, it's at that point, all bets are off. I mean, you do what you got to do. I'm not saying that you jump into the stands, you start swinging, but you could certainly, I would give you the latitude to fire back, say whatever you want, if somebody deserves it. Usually, you know, the interaction, the byplay is a little more evident in basketball because just think about where the fans are.
They're there.
Yeah, you don't see this in baseball this much. He's been a good veteran. I'm going to believe him.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave a little wiggle room that maybe he's lying. But
yeah,
I'll take him at his
it's
word.
It's hard because he was kind of half laughing. It is funny. And you can break his. Dan, break it. It's funny.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
As I'm watching that, BT, you know what I'm thinking of? Half-baked. when he's in the restaurant, he's like, blank you.
Oh, no, he's working at the he's working at Burger King.
Burger King, yeah. Blank you.
You're cool.
Blank you. Blank you.
You're all right.
You're cool. Blank you. I'm out.
Yeah.
That's what it
that
felt
guy
like.
Was just, his character was hysterical.
Oh, he was awesome. He was but that's incredible. What I felt like Ian Kinsler was doing.
A little bit. Bleep you. Bleep you. Cool. You're all right. Hour two coming up. Let's get the phones. 855-212-4227.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.